Hey folks, welcome back. Tom McNew here with Father John Gesualdo on What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody tuning in with us. And Father, thanks for joining us here.
My pleasure. It's always fun. I always tell people when it comes to sharing the faith is the only thing I have time for.
There you go.
People always say, I know you're busy. No.
This
No, if
is
I wasn't
important.
here with you, I'd be in some finance council meeting.
Well, you know,
Or
we're coming up on a pretty important weekend, or actually
yes.
Sunday will be a very important day in our church calendar, in our faith history. And so I thought it'd be a nice little break from our catechetical approach to the Ten Commandments to talk a little bit more in depth about Pentecost, what it means. I think we're fairly familiar, and we'll hear again on Sunday, the story from Acts of the Apostles, but maybe we can talk a little bit about the Old Testament connections to Pentecost.
Okay. And the Old Testament, now you caught me off guard here.
Oh, okay,
They did
sorry.
have
I
a
threw you a
50 day.
curveball.
No, that's okay.
I
It
wanted
was
to
a
see how well you could
50th
stink on your
day.
feet.
It was the 50th day after Yom Kippur, and with a feast of harvest when they would is that what it is?
Right.
I'm not an expert in Judaism, but the Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, 50 days after or 50 days of Yom Kippur, is that what it was? Or the
The
Feast of Booths?
50 days after the Feast of Booths, right?
Booths, yeah. Which was basically just a harvest time,
All right.
blessing the field, stuff like that. When they would celebrate God's gifts, God's providence on them and providing for them. That's all I know. Don't ask me about Jewish feast days anymore. I know a
Okay.
little bit about Passover, but if you ask me about, I know a little bit about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is a minor holiday, though.
Yeah,
They
yeah,
don't even
yeah.
celebrate that too much. Feast of Tabernacles is like the same thing.
So when we talk about Pentecost, then and I think a lot of us understand the concept of, oh, it's 50 days after Easter. And like you said, 50 days after the Feast of Booths,
For the Jewish
and
people, yeah.
Jewish people celebrate, but really it's about the birth of
The
our
church.
church.
Yeah. So what we've been celebrating, you can almost say, I always think that Pentecost is the culmination of what we actually began on Good Friday. I'm sorry, on Ash Wednesday. On Ash
Okay.
Wednesday, we put aside the green, we put on the purple. We are waiting for the Paschal mysteries with the people about to be baptized. So we enter into a time of purification, penance, and preparation for the Paschal mysteries. And so, but what saved us? So all that we prepare for the Paschal mysteries at Easter, the Passion, Death, the Resurrection, baptisms. The church celebrates resurrection at Easter, and it's so glorious we celebrate 50 days. But as we know from the scriptures, God is not finished with the disciples yet. He's visited them many times, and at the ascension, he tells them, listen, I have to go, and it's better that I go. And go to Jerusalem, go up there and await the Holy Spirit. Something is going to happen. They're still scared. They're still scared, even though they've seen him. But he has still something to do for them that God pulls off, intimacy with people that even he couldn't have when he was with us, in a sense. Because at Pentecost, we go from remembering that the disciples were changed, they were baptized, given their first communion, put through the purificator, celebrate his resurrection. It's almost like at Good Friday, we kind no, I'm sorry, I keep going back to Good Friday. I'm sorry.
That's all
At
right.
Ash Wednesday, we kind of circle the wagons. and prepare for something to happen in our family. And then within that circle, God does something amazing at his Paschal mysteries, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And we celebrate still in the circle. Our wagons are still circled. We're having cake and eating it too. People, we're celebrating those who joined our circle. We're still celebrating the church in her Paschal mysteries. But it's at Pentecost that we recognize now we are sent out. We break the circle of the wagons. And everybody who's been changed is now reminded, now we set out in a mission. We're on mission again. We wear red to represent the Holy Spirit. But the next day after Pentecost, you know, we put back the green on.
Yeah.
Even though we celebrate Mary, Mother of the Church, and that's what do we call it? The first, not or it is, it would be, hold on, what do we call that? You know, kind of the ordinary time again.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be the first week. It'd be like the 20-something week. I can't remember. But it reminds us that at Pentecost, the apostles are now given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not for salvation for them, but to equip them for mission.
Mm-hmm.
And to set them on fire, to give them courage. Now you are prepared. It's like, I always compare when we are baptized to confirmation. Baptism mm-hmm. brings us into the faith, into kind of like basic training.
Yeah.
You're not part of the family, you're part of Church Militant. But we train you, we discipline you, we feed you with word and sacrament. But at confirmation, you are sent out. Mm-hmm. Now your training is over. Now you are prepared. Now you're given the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. For what? At your own private Pentecost, our own private Pentecost happens at confirmation.
Yeah.
And what does the church teach very clearly, although I have to say sometimes it's been murked by, it's been murky by the way we've celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to spread and defend the faith in word and deed.
Right.
We're not only that, I like the other words the catechism uses. We have the right and the obligation. Wow. The right and the obligation to spread and defend faith in word and deed. Now, maybe that's part of the reason we wait in the West until they're in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Because giving a baby, even though you want them to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, giving the baby the charism of confirmation is to be a missionary.
Yeah.
Now, although that baptism kind of does that, Pentecost, it's revealed, and all those are your helmet, your sword, your shield. To be Catholic is to be missionary. And the church was... Why does the church exist? To spread, to evangelize. That's the only reason she exists,
yeah.
is to evangelize. And so I think something happened. You go back really as far as the Protestant Reformation, where maybe we kind of circled the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vatican II, again, no, we are meant for mission. To be Catholic is to be missionary. And so we highlight that. Because during Easter, the church asks us to celebrate, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember, the devil has been defeated. And in her, you know, in her liturgical calendar, there's different times we emphasize. Are we always supposed to be mission? Of course.
Right.
Of course. But in liturgical calendar, certain times we emphasize, like a wedding anniversary.
Okay.
They celebrate, they remember they're supposed to be doing that every day of the year. Uh-huh. But on their anniversary, we bring it back to mind.
Yeah.
I remember those vows you took so long ago. And for many of us, you know, we weren't confirmed by our pastor or deacon. It was the bishop.
Yeah.
Now we're connected to the wider church.
Yeah.
And that he, it's kind of like, again, if I can use the analogy of use the analogy of being in the army,
mm-hmm.
you know, the corporal commander, the company commander brings you in, trains you. You're now, you make an oath in front of even the recruiter.
Yeah.
But it's appropriate that the general come in and approve you, assign you, and mm-hmm. send you out. Okay, guys, I need you to hit the road. I need you to go out there on church, on not just pilgrimage. I think we've used that image a lot since Vatican II. We are the church pilgrim. Okay, that sounds so, I don't know. It sounds so vanilla.
Yeah.
It sounds so vanilla, but we're on mission. We're part of the church militant to recognize the evil one is out there and fight him mm-hmm. and bring truth and justice, of course, but also conversion and challenge people to holiness and to make our homes a domestic church, to send us back to the Eucharist, and then to send us back to whatever sphere of influence we have.
Right.
So that's why the Pentecost event is the beginning of the new age of the church, where Christ lives and acts in and with his church. So now God works, like, you know, if you look at the liturgy of Pentecost, God does something in people so that he can do something through people. And what is that through? To build a kingdom of God, to be missionaries. I think that's what John Paul called for, a new evangelization.
Yeah.
That we don't need to go to Africa. Actually, missionaries are coming here. We don't need to go to the Gentiles. I'm sure there's plenty of them. But now a new evangelization is to go to those who have been sacramentalized. Go to those areas of the world that already been converted and need reconversion. Hell, we need to send missionaries to Ireland. You know, Ireland was called a country, an island of priests. Now it's an island of apostates.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know who Matt Fratt is, right? He's on your.
Yeah.
He said he goes to Ireland. He's actually Australian, but he did missionary work in Ireland and England. And he said that the church there really appreciates what's going on here in America. That all the energy now is here, especially now that we have an American Pope.
Right.
That all the great, you know, your channel, Catholic Answers, the Augustine Institute, Ascension Press, St. Paul Center for Biblical Studies, St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Right.
All these great outreaches, and even the best YouTube videos of spreading and defend the faith are coming from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize that in the most Catholic countries in the 40s and the 50s, like Poland and Ireland, they need help now.
They need help. Yeah, they certainly do. As we
talk too much. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So I guess, how should we, you know, here we are on Friday before Pentecost Sunday. How should we approach the celebration? Or rather, maybe, this is a sending out of mission. But you know, when we walk out of the church on Sunday afternoon, you know, where should our mindset be?
Yeah, maybe meditating on your own confirmation. Asking ourselves, just how much on fire am I? Because of those images, the flames of fire coming down on the apostles from men who were cowards, shivering in the upper room. Suddenly they're out in the streets. And someone just, oh my God, someone just set me. And that the opposite of love is not hate, but fear.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't we converted the world? Why haven't we evangelized our own brother Catholics who don't even believe in the Eucharist? I think it's just out of fear. But because, you know, I think a lot of Catholics really do think like Protestants. Is it the American church or the church in America? Do we say we keep our Christian faith meant to be private? keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Christianity. It's like a car salesman who loves Fords and says, you know, just keep your love for Ford to yourself. Like, what? That's not what I'm made for. And what does spread and defend by word and deed mean?
Yeah.
It starts in the home. And is, you know, I see a lot of people around here that are on fire for a lot of things. You know, what are people on fire for? You would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's at the end of their life you find out how fire they are, because, you know, they never went to mass. They've been married three times, and now they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire congregation is wearing. I had a funeral here of a guy who never went to church, was baptized Catholic. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was he excited about? Well, half the congregation was in Dallas Cowboy jerseys.
Mm.
The other half of the congregation was in University of Texas jerseys.
Mm.
And what was the guy known for? Oh, he loved barbecue. And he loved the Dallas Cowboys. And it was always the same thing. And he'd give his shirt off your back. He always heard that.
Mm.
But was he Catholic? Yeah,
yeah.
He was Catholic. Okay, so he didn't go all. And so he, what was he on fire for? It sure as heck wasn't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So remind us of how, I ask people this all the time on a scale from 1 to 10. How excited are you about your Catholic faith? How sorry are you excited for you about Jesus? Because
mm-hmm.
During the election, ask people, how excited are you about Donald Trump or Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm.
The people riding up and down the streets with flags.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember during 2020, we can learn a lot from 2020, how people were risk, you know, social distancing and masks to scream out about, you know, George Floyd, and seething. And what are you on fire for? Everybody's on fire for something. I remember when I was in college, we had a retreat, and there was a guy, and he just loved the band The Cure. And we made t-shirts about and he made a t-shirt for The Cure, the band.
Uh-huh.
And then he got a guitar, was playing Cure songs. And we knew what, he was a fan. That means he was a fanatic.
Fanatic. Mm-hmm.
A fanatic of what? There was a couple guys in high school. There was one guy, I can't remember his name, and another guy named Owen. I think I've talked to you about Owen before.
Mm-hmm.
Owen wore a Led Zeppelin t-shirt to school every day. Every day. And by then, Led Zeppelin had broken up.
So,
yeah. There was another guy. I mean, and there are people around here who wear Aggie shirts every day.
Yeah.
Wear Longhorn shirts. We have lectors that get up on the pulpit to show the world that they love the Longhorns. I mean, that's a state school.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake, get a life. It's like, you know, when I was in junior high, we were the Rattlers. Can you imagine if I walked around with my junior high shirt saying, you know, I graduated eighth grade. I'm a junior high. Hey, wait, look who's got a University of Texas shirt on now. I just saw it.
Yeah,
Did you go to school there?
I did.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay. We'll pray
but
for
I
you.
But I don't wear it. I don't wear this to church on Sunday,
oh, that's
especially
good.
When I'm lecturing. So.
Did you get a master's degree?
I got my master's degree from Columbus State University in outside Fort Benning, Georgia.
What is their mascot?
Where is what? Oh, they are the.
Do you even know?
Cougars. I had to stop and think. Cougars.
When's the last time you wore your Cougar shirt?
I don't even own one.
See, that's where you got your master's degree. Come on, man.
Well, I got my master's degree from School of Advanced Military Studies, and I don't wear many Army shirts either anymore. So
I went to UD. They were the Crusaders.
Yeah.
That was such an awesome. Anyway, like I said, Pentecost is to remind ourselves who are we on fire for? Who are we excited for? Who mm-hmm. can we sell? And if it's not Jesus, you know, great exorcist, Father Vincent Lambert says, all of us either follow God or someone else.
Yeah.
We're either following God devoted to God or to someone else? And what is that someone else? I know I'm giving you a hard time about your shirt, but
Yeah, that's all right. It's all good. You know, the catechism in paragraph 732 talks about Pentecost, and I'm always I find
it does.
myself drawn to this. To there's a couple paragraphs here on the Spirit of the Church in the last days on Pentecost, 731 and 732. But the last sentence of paragraph 732, by His coming, meaning Christ, I'm sorry, meaning the Holy Spirit, which never ceases, the Holy Spirit causes the world to enter into, quote, the last days, the time of the church, the kingdom already inherited, though not yet consummated. I've always been interested by that phrase, the last days.
Yeah.
And here we are 2,000 years later.
And we're still in the last days.
Celebrating the last days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
because
I mean.
For God, there is no time. It's outside of time. And we are, people say, do you think the last days? We've been in the last days for a long time. And the kingdom of God is the church. And the question is, have we made the world part of the kingdom? Or do we, do we not tell the world? Because, you know, that's that old Protestant kind of thing. If you were put on trial to be a Christian, what would the evidence be? You know, we used to do this exercise with the kids when I was teaching eighth grade history. I'd say, you're not in your room right now. Let's say a burglar breaks into your room right now and you're not there and walks around your room. What can he tell about you? Would he tell you what you like, what kind of music you like, what kind of, if can he tell that you're Christian or Catholic? Can he tell you if you're a boy or a girl? I'm like, oh yeah, they can tell real quick if I was a boy or a girl. Can they tell how small or big you are? Yeah. But as Catholics, they should be able to break into our homes, wander around our house and say, wow, this guy's a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
He must be really into by the books, by the posters, by the images. Yeah. Again.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
How are we doing on time? I don't even know.
Yeah, no, we're still good. We still got plenty of time. But you know, I think about we've been blessed to have been in the Holy Land three times on pilgrimage. And the last time we were there, the Notre Dame Hotel, which is right across the street from the old city and the new gate, they were finishing up a room that had it was a you know, big conference room, like as big as your upstairs in your building there, but the whole walls and the ceiling were painted as if it was the moment of Pentecost. And that with the tongues of fire and all around the room, there's 150, I don't remember the exact number, of people, individuals in the painting. And I've always been struck, it's beautiful. But the children in the painting, I was struck by the image of the children in this painting, who are all standing there with smiles and this grand expectation, you know, almost arms open in anticipation of the tongue of fire coming on them, where the vast majority of the adults, you know, they're looking with trepidation and fear, and some of them are trying to get up and run,
wow,
you know, and there's just always this concern, on a lot of the faces of the adults in the room. And that
say that again. What's the image that they're freaking out about?
It's the day of Pentecost, and so the tongues of fire are coming down, and you see some of the like I said, some of the adults are just they're a little, you know, they see this tongue of fire coming down from the sky and they have no idea what it is initially.
Okay.
You know, and it's just that, it's that moment before they come and before these tongues of fire, before the Holy Spirit comes and rests on everybody. You know, it's just that initial emergence, if you will, of the Holy Spirit in these tongues of represented by these tongues of fire. And it's just it's a beautiful, beautiful painting, and it's tremendously moving. Anyway, it's kind of
No, I
off.
hear you. I hear you because to be moved is an act of the Holy Spirit, but I think you also have to be warned. You know, you ever seen that image of people play make about Holy Spirit in your life is like kind of like the Hershey's chocolate and milk. You ever seen that? How easily if you don't keep it churned, it will become dormant. It'll be in there. You just gotta stick a spoon in there. But
It's
if you
just
don't, it'll be almost as if it never was. It's just dormant. And the more dormant it comes, it more pop, more radical something has to happen in someone's life. To be kicked up.
that's an interesting analogy. You just get this cold glob of chocolate goo at the bottom of your
But
glass.
then it becomes hard. You know,
Right,
after a while, it
right.
becomes hardened. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's an interesting analogy. Father, we've got about a couple minutes here before we gotta wind up for this week. So, any final thoughts about Pentecost and the message that I think the church or that you think the church is trying to get us to carry?
Yeah, the message is the Holy Spirit is here to help. He is a the Holy Spirit is a person and not a power. And to call upon him, I have been doing this lately. I have my evaluations with my staff. Please give me wisdom and knowledge, give me fortitude, all those things. He wants to, but he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. If you don't call upon he'll leave you alone. And but when you do, and saying, Jesus, I trust in you, help me, give me this power of mission now. I met with someone who's kind of fallen away from the church, kind of a radical way. And I had lunch with them, or dinner, lunch with them. Anyway, and I kept praying, Lord, be the kick up all the gifts of my confirmation, my Pentecost. And we had a wonderful time together. We didn't bring up really anything controversial, but all of a sudden the lines of communication were wide open and we were laughing and joking and looking forward to seeing each other again. That's exactly what the Lord wanted to happen. And not to fear those things, because fear, when we're going into places of the Holy Spirit gives us holy opportunities to be brave. Does that make sense? I don't know what's going to happen. I might fail, but the Holy Spirit is here, and now I can be brave. Whatever happens was meant to happen. Even if I strike out, even if I get insulted and failed, maybe that's what needed to happen.
Well, Father, we're going to have to leave it there for
All
this
right.
week. And folks,
Thank you.
appreciate everybody tuning in. If you missed all or part of today's conversation, we'll be rebroadcasting this on Sunday afternoon at 12:30, so you can pick it up there. Of course, everything will eventually be uploaded to our website where you can listen to all of our episodes of What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Folks, we'll be picking back up next week with the seventh commandment,
Not
and
Seventh
we
Amendment.
hope you'll join us for that. And remember, put on the armor of God.